Recent research has shown that with growing consumption prowess of the Chinese people, expenditure on alcohol and cigarettes has also gone up, especially for men in the age bracket of 40 and 50. So let's look at the situation here first and break it down. Let's talk about the drinking situation first and then smoking. What is the general picture here?
Well, there's good news and bad news. The World Health Organization released the Global Status Report on Alcohol and Health 2018, this September, and it showed that the per capita consumption of alcohol drops in the world in 2016. But the situation was different in China. So anyway, Chinese people consumed more alcohol in 2016. They consumed 4.1 liter, 7.1 liter, and 7.2 liter of alcohol per person in 2005, 2010, and 2016, respectively. So we see a steady rise over the years, rising by 76%. And more Chinese drink and fewer have quit it. The reports show that the percentage of drinkers dropped from 45.1% in 2005 to 43% in 2016 in the world. That's not much. But in China, the percentage of drinkers rose from 48.2% in 2005 to 55.8% in 2016. And the percentage of the people who quit drinking for good dropped from 50.9% in 2005 to 42.1% in 2016. The report also pointed out that the drinking rate in the West Pacific region rose from 51.5% in 2000 to 53.8% in 2016, and it turns out that Chinese people are the major contributor to the rising figure. In other regions, the ratio dropped from 54.4% in 2000 to 47.3% in 2016. So the only reason why the percentage of drinking in the West Pacific region rose between 2000 and 2016 was actually more Chinese people have taken up drinking.
Yeah, how would you make up these figures, Tony?
Well, it's very interesting. I feel like a lot of media coverage and a lot of attention is given to young people and, you know, the influences that they encounter when it comes to smoking. But I just find it very interesting that a lot of older people, well, in this case, middle-aged men are finding smoking more appealing. And I just feel like I remember when I went to the Philippines and I saw these little advertisements, these ghastly advertisements where it would show someone's a hole in someone's throat, and then it would show like these different cancers coming out of people's stomach, and it's like, what is that? And it's you know, there are these advertisements to prevent smoking, and it just doesn't seem to be working. It seems like people still tend to smoke. And so, you know, according to the World Health Organization in a recent report, a male Chinese over 15 consumed about 11.7 liters of alcohol on average in 2016, which is a slight raise from 2010. But the figure for females was only about 2.5 liters, which isn't too bad. It's a slight decrease from 2010. However, smoking in 2013, 47.2% of Chinese men smoked, which is a pretty large figure. And for women, it's about 2.7. So it seems like smoking is starting to become, well, I feel like it's always been an issue, especially in the United States. But it seems to be, as time goes on, a lot more Chinese tend to be smoking. But the figures, you know, are continually rising, especially as people get older. The smoking rate and the drinking rate in males rise and reach its peak around the ages of between 40 and 49 years old. In 2012, the number of drinkers took up 53.9% of the Chinese male population in the 20s. And the figure rose to about 63.7% in the 40s and dropped to about 40.3% in the 70s. So this age of around 50 seems to be where a lot of people take on this heavy drinking and heavy smoking. And I would imagine that there's a lot of factors involved here in why a lot of people are taking this up.
Yeah, this is interesting that that drinking and smoking have been put in juxtaposition for analysis in this research as well. I guess these are the two top vices that people are surveying, and they're not the kind of bad habit, or some people don't see it as bad. And certainly you don't see negative consequences immediately.
It makes kind of sense here in China, because we have an idiom that's called 烟酒不分家. That means
really?
Cigarettes and alcohol, they belong to the same family. They should not be separated.
Oh, no.
A lot of my friends who smoke after drinking says, he usually doesn't smoke. And the only times he smokes is after he gets drunk. And it's almost as if people are looking for excuses to sort of, well, they already know that it's bad to be smoking, but then nonetheless, when they're drunk and then they lose their self-control, they feel like it's the time, now it's the best time than ever to sort of try smoking. And indulging
best time ever,
yeah.
Quote unquote.
It's very interesting that I have friends like that too. It's like they don't drink and they don't smoke actually, but you know, when they go out and they have these gatherings with friends, they have a few drinks and everyone's smoking. Hey, why not? I'll just have a cigarette too. It's kind of, it's like you're blending into your environment. It's a very strange phenomenon.
And it really makes sense for me too. I mean, the only times I managed to smoke a cigarette were the times when I was really drunk. Other times when I was sober, I couldn't handle the smoke sipping into my eyes. I get water in my eyes or tears in my eyes. So I just don't know how I can then pull off smoking and how those people who are maybe smoking maybe 10 packs a day, how they do that.
Yeah, smoking like a chimney. That, I wonder what's the color of that person's lung. But actually...
You know.
But you also get these... survivor stories of people having really good genes. They're almost immune to other. Yeah, but I question the validity of that, though. But Lai Meng, a friend told me that, having a ciggy after a few glasses of wine or whatever alcohol could add to the buzz, and that's why some people do it. But a friend said that. And anyhow, back to this research paper. As, just looking at, just plowing through all this, the figures that you guys cited, one thing that really stood out for me is that I think our attention have often been diverted, I suppose, to, oh, there are some ladies now that are smoking. Oh, there are some younger teenagers. They're exposed to bad content or glorified smoking scenes or of sort in media, and they're smoking, they're experimenting, blah, blah, blah. But by the look of it, if we look at evidence, it seems to be the old, well, let's say the middle-aged men, those in this age cohort of 50 to 49.
50. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
40 to
and
50,
they're
49.
The major force behind consumption for alcohol and cigarettes here in China. So let's look at this group of people then. Why is it that they have such a high rate of smoking and drinking?
Well,
I don't know. I kind of feel like it could possibly be, you know, as they get older, they earn a little bit more money, which enables them to, well, indulge a little bit more, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, pack of cigarettes aren't what they used to be. They're quite expensive. So a little bit more money, a little bit more freedom with how they can spend it. And also when people get a bit older in their 50s, they face a bit more pressures from life and work. You know, and this could be a bit of an escape, so to speak. And I feel people in this age group are usually in the dominating status in the family, which means, you know, there may be no more people that can control them and tell them what to do. Hey, you know, this, you know, you really should cut back on that. And, you know, and as a 40 or 50 year old man, I mean, no one's really going to tell you what to do. So, I mean, I feel like that could possibly be a reason why this age group may smoke a bit more than others.
Makes a little sense. I don't mean to sound sarcastic or ironic, but so for a lot of people who are in their 40s and or who are between 40 and 49, they are probably facing the midlife crisis. They probably have realized that they're not going to make a dent in history. You know, they probably are not going to get that promotion they've always wanted, and they
life seems to be less filled with wonders.
Yeah, they probably don't know how to have fun except for to indulge in those vices like you just mentioned.
Well, I also think there's another factor that's kind of important, and I think that's nicotine. I mean, I think nicotine is more addictive than heroin, and doctors rank nicotine.
Who said that?
Well, this was according to the CDC. It says that it's more addictive than heroin, and doctors rank nicotine ahead of alcohol and cocaine in terms of dependence. The nicotine triggers the smoker's brain to be more efficient in processing information. So this is probably why a lot of people feel that they can think when they smoke. Furthermore, nicotine also reduces anxiety and induces euphoria, which is that, you know, that feeling of excitement and intense feelings of being happy. So researchers have also shown that nicotine stimulates alertness and arousal and sedation and relaxed feelings based off of the dose of, you know, the amount of nicotine that you're taking in. So there are some benefits here. People can feel relaxed from stress from work, and they have this feeling of being, you know, well, euphoric, happy, but also they feel, you know, very relaxed and but aroused. They can still get things done. So it seems like this type of drug can really help people who have a very high stress level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I wonder, of course, I know that nicotine has that addiction side in it, but I don't know what is the dosage that is put in cigarettes, and if it's I guess there need. I don't have the detailed studies in that, but certainly I think addiction could be one of the factors in why people continue to smoke. Because I think we can sort of extrapolate from the figures is that it's more men than women, obviously, but you know, they start smoking probably a while back, and maybe they've quit it successfully or failed along the way or whatever it is, and then it's towards midlife, 40 to 49, that's when maybe more of these guys are smoking. And these people are not only the dominating figure at home for a lot of the families, I suppose, but also I think easy to see in society is that they are in the dominant position in the office in society. And who's going to tell your leader off to, like, put that out? And so I guess in many ways, these guys can get away with it.
Yes, social smoking and social drinking could be could play a very important part in getting people to pick up those bad habits. I mean, I remember specifically when I was a kid, I mean, the adults who were smoking, I mean, when I was a kid are probably between the age of 40 and 49. I specifically remember them passing cigarettes when they met each other. And I as a result, I also picked up that habit, even though I don't smoke. Sometimes when under certain circumstances, say when I hire a worker sort of to help me do some landscape improvement at home, I would certainly go to one of the cigarette stores and get a pack of cigarettes so that I could just give it to them as a nice gesture, so that they would pay more attention to their work. And also when it comes to drinking, that's the case too. I mean, when you are not drinking, I mean, back in the days, maybe in the 1980s, in the 1990s, China was not as developed a country as it is now. And as such, people were not necessarily as educated, or they certainly didn't know enough about the harms of drinking or alcohol or cigarette. And as such, they sort of, and also because the lack of development in the society, there wasn't a specifically a trust building mechanism in the society. When you want to do business, when you run into a stranger in business, how do you get to know them? But to sort of judge their character by how they behave. And in many cases, when Chinese people believe joping, or the personality that or the manners that a person exhibits while drinking on the dinner table, are probably going to reflect how they behave in the society under normal circumstances. So when we didn't have such a trust-building mechanism, when a lot of people were probably not educated enough to know the harms or to sort of to know the good trustworthy person from the not trustworthy persons, they sort of relied on table manners to mm-hmm. tell or adherence to social protocols to tell whether this person is trustworthy or not. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I can totally see how young people are shying away from taking up those bad habits. For one thing, a lot of people are better educated mm-hmm. and they have the means to tell whether, at least you can tell that this person has had received a good education has had a good education background, you know, from intelligently he's trustworthy. And then there are other ways, for instance, emails, WeChats, there are other ways of communication where you can determine whether this person is trustworthy or not. And also all sorts of businesses have been developed. I know that there are companies that can help you look into actually the background of another company. For instance, it's called Tianyan Cha. So mm-hmm. there are websites that you can pay membership fee to that would allow you access to information, business information or registration certification information of a certain company. There are certainly a wider range of choices that you can use to get to know another person or another old company when you are sort of 行走江湖, walking in the society mm-hmm. and just getting contact with all kinds of strange people.
That's so interesting. But Lai Ming, I suppose that there has been a lot of social change going on regarding the smoking and drinking, if there is a culture, so to speak, of it. Mm. Now, for example, you would possibly offer the cigarette to the construction worker or uh-huh. whoever the shifu that you've employed to come in and help you out with plumbing or around the house, that kind of thing. But you wouldn't offer a cigarette to our boss or our boss's boss, right?
I wouldn't feign that hospitality before I know whether they smoke or not.
Exactly.
Whereas there is a higher percentage of workers who have the habit of smoking or drinking.
Yeah, so I think there is that change, I would say, because remember in these photos taken of Chairman Mao and Deng Xiaoping, you know, these great figures
of the Republic.
Yes, of China, there were pictures of them smoking when they were meeting up with foreign dignitaries. But now you don't ever see that because the social etiquette, the custom, the culture has changed dramatically. And so I think there is that going on, but that doesn't mask the fact that sales for cigarettes is still going up. Although it's not skyrocketing, but it's sort of remained in a pretty high level. And that hasn't really budged much. In the last decade or so. So that's one thing. And regarding drinking, I think there's change, but some things still seem to remain the same. This is my observation, Lai Ming. So you say that there are plenty of other tools nowadays that people can employ to try to really find out what this person is about. And yeah, but there's still the saying that still runs true today that the father-in-law would most likely and want to take the son-in-law or the fiancé of his daughter out for a drink and get that dude drunk to see his true colors. What is this guy's real character about? And I think, so sometimes it's about trying to see this person's true colors. It's not necessarily about the assets of the company or whatever it is, but it's like you want to establish a close relationship and really, really get to know this person without all the civilized facade and that kind of thing.
But that's not rational, and that irrational thinking still betrays the stage of underdevelopment. And I think as China moves on, I mean, certainly if you look at film and TV, TV series and films and those products, you can see how smoking and drinking has been portrayed in different light. I specifically remember when I was a kid, I watched those feature films about revolutionary forefathers who founded this republic, and there was a scene showing them attending a military meeting and trying to sort of brainstorm a strategy, and that the way they portrayed that scene was that they portrayed everybody smoking, and the scene was all about the smoke encompassing the entire room, and then after the smoke dissipates, then the leaders have conceived a grand strategy, and then how they portrayed it. And nowadays, although we are complaining that maybe China hasn't done enough in discouraging people from those bad habits, there are policies or measures that have been ruled out. Mm-hmm. For instance, we can no longer, as often as we used to, watch people smoking. At least it's not openly recommended to young people. You don't see that as often as we used to.
Well, the smoking ban indoors has been stricter than ever. Although you can still see people who are breaking the rules sometimes, but
going in the bathroom.
But certainly, I think the efforts in the smoking ban seems to be improving, but
there's a tax hike. It's really expensive to buy cigarettes now. At least, I feel like in the United States, it's for most people this has been a reason for a significant decline in people buying cigarettes is because it's so expensive. It's mm-hmm. like 3 to 4 times it was 15 years ago. So a lot of people are going places. For example, like an Indian reservation where there's no tax, and they'll try to buy them there. But I mean, it's far and it's not very accessible. So, but yeah, tax hikes are definitely something that I think, affects people's wallet. And if people can't afford to smoke, then they're going to smoke a little bit less.
Yeah, a few years back when I was doing a report on smoking in China and actually came into this information, actually, that a lot of Chinese people who smoke, they probably smoke a pack of cigarettes worth less than 10 yuan. And so they are pretty sensitive to price fluctuations. But then honestly, I tend to think that this argument could be used by cigarette companies or the state that's looking to collect more taxes from the industry. I don't think by raising the price or the cost of smoking, that's going to change the situation dramatically. Because for one thing, Tony, you just mentioned the magic, or I wouldn't say magic, that's the wrong word, the effect of nicotine that can affect on a person that's smoking. So is it really hard? Is it really going to play a part in deterring people by raising the price when they are so reliant on nicotine? I don't know.
Well, I think maybe it depends on how expensive is the sin tax. Because we know in China in 2015, there was a regulation that increased the tax on cigarettes. And then in the 2 years after that, we saw small dips in the sales. But now, sales seems to be going up. We'll be back after the break.